Good morning.
Good morning.
How's everybody this morning? Oh, there we go. First I thought, wait a minute. Something's not working. Everybody doing well?
Oh, yeah.
So it was so wonderful to be able to hear you visiting with one another. Becky and I were visiting with some folks that have become a regular part of our church. And one of the things that they said to us was, our church is full of life and full of love. And you know what? As a pastor, you can't hear anything better than that, right? And so I'm glad you got to experience that today. Are you? All right. Well, I'm glad that you're all here. Hopefully when you came in this morning, you received a bulletin. If so, open it up. If not, make sure that you get one on the way out so that you're apprised of the things that are going on. First and foremost, this morning, there is no Sunday school. So we're just all, I know, we're just doing the morning worship service this morning. All right, Tuesday, men, we have men's Bible study here at the church. Wednesday, we have Joy Bible study here at the church. And remember, Joy is just for older youth, but you know what? You don't have to be old to be able to come. If you have the time available to come and join us for Bible study, we would love that. Thursday night, we have Awana. It is Star Wars night. Our kids look forward all year long to that, so that'll be great. Ladies, Saturday morning, 10 a.m. here, or not here, at Martha Adams' house. There is Ladies Coffee Connection. There's details in the bulletin. If you have any questions, see Diane, and she'll be happy to answer those questions from you. Guess what? 2 weeks from today is Easter Sunday. What?
Yes.
But it's also our annual Easter breakfast. Yes! So, the church is going to be providing egg casseroles, thanks to Jared. But we need a whole lot of other stuff to go along with it. And so there's a sign-up sheet out there with a whole lot of lines for a whole lot of people to put their names next to so that, what, you can help bring stuff for the Easter breakfast. And so we hope that you'll put that on your calendar. We want to start eating breakfast at 9 a.m. in 2 weeks on Easter Sunday. Sound good? Good. If you have any questions, come and see me after the after the service, and I'll try my best to answer those questions for you. But I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Also, if you are looking for a place to serve the Lord here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, have we got the place for you? So if you are looking and been praying for God to be able to open up an opportunity for you to serve him here at Lake Hazel Bible Church, you can help right over there in the sound booth doing sound and projection. And so if you've been praying and God says, you know what, that's just right for you, then you can talk to Jeremy or you can talk to Jared after the service and they'll get you lined out. And you know, the more people that we have, the less it'll take for you to be able to be in there. Like Jeremy's been in there, you know, every week unless he's gone for I don't know how many years without a whole lot. Now, we finally got Ryan helping out there in there, but we could use a few more. Can always use a few more, amen? And so if you've been praying, and you don't need to have any previous experience, that would help, but they'll train you. They'll show you all that that you need to do. So maybe keep thinking about it, keep praying about it, but if you've been doing that, see Jeremy or see Jared, and let's get that taken care of. Lots more announcements in the bulletin. I'm so glad I'm here. Are you glad you're here?
Yes.
All right, and you know what? I know that God is glad that you're here. So let's praise him. Good deal?
Good deal.
Let's go worship.
Would you all stand with me as we begin this morning? We're going to do something a little different. We're going to start with Graves into Gardens, our second song. And you all can stand and worship, raise your hands. You can sit back down whenever you feel like it. We're just going to praise our Lord today. Amen.
I've searched the world, but it couldn't fill me. A man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. Well, then you came along and you put me back together. Desire is now satisfied here in your love. nothing is better than you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm not afraid to show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you've seen them all, and you still call me friend. Thank you, because the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. You turn mourning to dancing. You give beauty for ashes. You turn shame into glory. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you, Lord. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. Saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which were I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. Let's lift him up, come on. Yes, I exalt thee. I exalt thee. I exalt thee. Oh, Lord. Joy, my King, in what you hear, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Lord, we're here to worship you and you alone today. That's why we came, not to sing songs, not to sit with our friends, but for you, to worship you when all our words fall short and we've got nothing new to give. We still can bring you a hallelujah.
When my words fall short, I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do.
Let's worship. Come on.
So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for a king. Except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide,
come on.
I will worship you. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is alleluia, alleluia. And I know it's not much, but I'm nothing else fit for King, except for a heart singing alleluia. come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh, come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Yeah. So I throw up my hands and praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is I. Nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing alleluia, alleluia.
This is the cry of our heart, Lord. Praise you. Hallelujah. Praise you. Lord, we love you, and we're here for you and you alone. Amen. Please be seated as we continue this morning. We're going to take this morning's offering, and it's good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Woo! I get excited about Jesus. I don't know. He's awesome. Has God done something in your life? Is there anything praiseworthy that he has done for you? Remember those things. Praise him back for what he's done for you. As we take this morning's offering, please don't put money in because you think I'm asking for money or the church is, because we're not. Praise the Lord with your giving. Because there's got to be more than going back and forth from doing right to doing wrong. 'Cause we were taught that's who we are. Come on, get in line right behind me. You along with everybody thinking there's worth in what you do. And like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seats, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Could it possibly be that we simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this, wrap him up in righteousness? But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. Oh, yeah. Take a breath, smile, and say, right here, right now, I'm okay because the cross was enough. Then, like a hero who takes the stage when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to grace, grace, God's grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter the hurt or how deep the wound is, no matter the pain,
the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless. No matter what they say or what you think you are, the day you called his name, he made you flawless. He made you flawless. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made. The cross has made you flawless.
Well, Jared, the Holy Spirit did it again. Amen. Praise God. We are so blessed. I'm okay. You're okay. Because the cross is enough. You feel that this morning? If not, you're missing. You're missing something wonderful. You're missing something blessed. So I hope that you can say that you're okay. Not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, but because the cross is enough. And the day that you called his name, he made you, he made me, he made us flawless. Wow, what a blessing. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. And looky here, the world traveler. He had a great time. So I asked him what was the best part. He said it was all good. I asked him what the worst part. He said there was no worst part. I said, if traveling with mom and dad was the worst part, you can tell me later. And he said there was no worst part. We're glad to have you and your family back. We're glad you guys had a great time. Let's pray. Father, we are flawless. We stand this morning in your presence flawless. Not because we're perfect. Not because we always do everything right. Not because we follow you 24/7. Not because we follow the instructions that you've given to us in your word every moment of every day. We're flawless because we believe in what Jesus did on the cross for us. How he became our propitiation. How he became our Savior. How he took the weight of the sin of the world upon himself. And by doing that, he satisfied God's requirement of sin. He paid our penalty for us. He took sin. He took death. So that when we come to the place of believing in him as Savior, we can stand before you as flawless. Because when we believe in you as Savior, 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21 tells us that we are now the righteousness of Christ. Because of what we've done, because of where we've come from, but because of what Jesus chose to do for us. We are so, so blessed. So, Father, I pray that as we look into your word this morning, that the truths of your word will speak to us and speak to us in such a way that we will not just hear them, but as we go out these doors in a little bit, that we will do them. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. While they're being dismissed, turn with me, if you will, to Joshua chapter 10. Little Timmy came to class one morning bubbling with excitement about having played t-ball. We won our game, he said. Did you get any hits? The teacher asked. Yes, he answered. And I got some scratches too. What a great attitude. He's excited about winning despite the hits and scratches along the way. And of course, we all know that life is full of hits and scratches. But despite them, we can enjoy victory on this journey of life. Joshua was able to enjoy victory in his leadership in life, even though there were hits and scratches. Follow this now, bumps and bruises. Can we just sing about that? Yeah, we did. Isn't God good? No, I didn't tell Jared what I was going to preach on. I didn't tell Jared what some of the statements in the sermon were. The Holy Spirit just guided him, and I love it when he does that. All right, hopefully by now you felt Joshua chapter 10. I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. As soon as Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had captured Ai and had devoted it to destruction, doing to Ai and its king as he had done to Jericho and its king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, he feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were warriors. So Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, to Piram, king of Jarmuth. Aren't you glad you're not having to pronounce these? To Japhia, king of Lachish, and to Deber, king of Eglon, saying, come up to me and help me, and let us strike Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and the people of Israel. Then the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Eglon, gathered their forces and went up with all their armies and encamped against Gibeon and made war against it. You get the picture? Until now, Joshua has fought Israel's enemies one by one. First Jericho, then Ai, then Gibeon. Now the enemies are ganging up on him. Five kings led by the king of Jerusalem, which is just 5 miles south of Gibeon, put together an alliance to attack Gibeon. It's a menacing situation, but God is going to use it to bring a great victory for Joshua and the Israelites. By winning the victory here, Joshua would break the strength of the enemy forces in all the southern region of the Promised Land instead of fighting them one by one. But the Gibeonites, they're a little worried. Pick it up in verse 6, and we're going to read down through verse 8. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp in Gilgal, saying, do not relax your hand from your servants. Come up to us quickly and save us and help us, for all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the hill country are gathered against us. So Joshua went up from Gilgal, he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have given them into your hands. Not a man of them shall stand against you. Wow. Do not fear. Not a man of them shall stand before you. God promised Joshua a great victory. Look at verse 9. So Joshua came upon them suddenly, having marched up all night from Gilgal. Now that's a 25-mile trip up steep and difficult terrain. Look at what happens, verses 10 and 11. And the Lord threw them into a panic before Israel, who struck them with a great blow at Gibeon and chased them by the way of the ascent of Beth-horon and struck them as far as Azekah and Makkedah. And as they fled before Israel, while they were going down to the ascent of Beth-horon, the Lord threw down large stones from heaven on them as far as Azekah, and they died. There were more who died because of the hailstones than the sons of Israel killed with the sword. What? Wow. God was leading Israel in the battle. But Joshua had to move forward with confidence in God's word. Even though God was leading Israel, remember, Joshua is the human leader of Israel. God is the leader of Israel. Even though God was leading Israel, there would be no victory if Joshua did not advance against the enemy. So when God promised Joshua a victory, Joshua did not hesitate to proceed with confidence. He marched his army 25 miles through treacherous mountain passes and attacked right away. And it threw the enemy into a panic, especially when God threw down what? Large hailstones upon them. And more soldiers were killed by the hailstones than by any that were killed by the army of the nation of Israel. You know what that tells us? That we can win the challenges of life with confidence. But we have to have our confidence in the right place. So I want to talk about that this morning. So the first thing that we need to do is have our confidence in the Word of God. We can move forward with our lives trusting what God has promised us. Move forward against the challenges in life, trusting God to keep his promises. Now, class, where do we find the promises of God? In the Bible, in his word. So in order for us to have confidence in the promises of God, we have to know the promises of God. In order to know the promises of God, we have to know the Bible. What's the best way for us to know the Bible? Read it. Study it every opportunity we have. Every opportunity we have to read and to study the Word of God, we need to take advantage of so that we can know the promises of God, so that we can face the challenges of life with those promises. Look at verse 12. We're going to read down through verse 15. At that time, Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Stand, sun, stand still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon." And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Jashar? The sun stopped in the midst of heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before or since when the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. So Joshua returned and all Israel with him to the camp at Gilgal. Now remember, go back to verse 8. God had told Joshua, not a man of them shall stand before you. But Joshua needed more time to make that happen. If night came, the enemy would be able to escape under the cover of darkness. The victory would be incomplete, and Joshua would not be able to accomplish God's revealed will. So Joshua dares to ask God. Joshua dares to ask that time stand still, that the earth stop its rotation, that Joshua can accomplish what God told him to do. Joshua asks God for the impossible and does it for him. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that amazing? So Joshua asks God, prays to God, asks him a specific request, and God does it. God delays the sunset for a whole day. This means that the earth slowed down and made a 48-hour rotation around the sun instead of a 24-hour rotation. There's been no day like this before or since, which indicates that God did this for his purpose and plan. Now, this is God doing a miracle. Now, sometimes miracles are misunderstood. A man was sitting in his living room one day when his pet cat dragged in a little gift in his mouth. You've probably had some of the similar experience. It was a dead animal of some sort. Taking a closer look, the man recognized the dead animal to be the bunny that belonged to the little girl who lived next door. So the man came up with a very quick plan. Removing the bunny from the cat's mouth, which by now was a dirty mess, he put the bunny in the kitchen sink. With a little warm water and some shampoo, he tried to clean up the bunny as best as he could. Then he took a hair, pun intended, dryer, and blow-dried the bunny until it looked pretty good. Some of you will get that after lunch today, by the way. He blow-dried the bunny until it looked pretty good. Finally, he took it out to the neighbor's rabbit hunch and placed it back in the cage. He kind of fluffed it up so that it looked natural there in its little box. Right. The next morning, the man looked out his window and noticed a crowd gathered around the rabbit hunch. Everyone was talking and pointing. He decided to go over and act like any other curious neighbor and find out what was going on. When he got there, the little girl's mother said to him, "You won't believe what has happened. It's a miracle. The bunny passed away a few days ago, and we buried the bunny right over there." Sometimes miracles get misunderstood. But Joshua knew about God. He knew about the miracles. Remember? He'd lived through those miracles. Joshua remembers when God parted the Red Sea. Joshua remembers when as they were trekking through the wilderness, that God would send the manna and the quail. That their sandals or their clothes didn't wear out for 40 years. That God gave them the victory even though they weren't warriors, they were slaves. But God gave them victories over certain enemies as they were trucking through the wilderness through those 40 years. Israel's leader, Moses, died. God established a new leader named Joshua. for the nation of Israel. Then, when it came time for them to go across the Jordan River back into the land of Canaan, back into the land that had been promised their forefathers, God parted the River Jordan, and they were able to go across just like their forefathers 40 years before that on dry land. God allowed them to be able to pick up 12 huge boulders out of the riverbed and bring them up onto the shore and to be able to pile them up as a memorial of what God had done for them. And then God, just at the right time, closed the waters of the Jordan River so that now there was no turning back. Because remember, the Jordan River was at flood stage. Joshua had seen God do miracles. He knew that God could still do miracles, and he dared to request the impossible from God, and God did it. You see, God's word is very clear of what can happen to everyone who submits to him. God today is still in the miracle-doing business. Do you believe that? Do you live that? Do you pray that? God is still in the miracle business. And God is there to be able to help us as we face the challenges of life. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7 says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Whatever the hits and scratches, whatever the bumps and bruises, don't run away in fear. But do proceed forward with confidence in God's word and watch what God will do for you. In March of 2018, the Chicago Blackhawks hockey team needed a goalie in their game against the Winnipeg Jets. Their regular goalie, Anton Forsberg, was injured in the third period, so they called on their rookie goalie, Colin Delia, to substitute. Then he got injured, and now the Blackhawks were out of goalies. So they called a fan out of the stands into emergency goalie services. Can you imagine sitting in the stands watching a hockey game, and all of a sudden an official of the hockey team comes up and says, "You, follow me. We need a goalie. Follow me." Okay? Well, there's a little bit more to that story, because that fan was Scott Foster, a 36-year-old accountant who hadn't played a hockey game against serious competition in over 10 years. But he had been a goalie for Western Michigan University, so the Blackhawks had designated him as an emergency goalie. And hockey teams don't expect their emergency goalies to ever play in the game. It's just an honor they bestow on some that gives the honoree free food and an opportunity to sit in the press box. However, that day in March, the Blackhawks' emergency goalie, Scott Foster, walked out of the stands, put on his gear, and took the ice. Foster said, "The initial shock happened when I had to dress, and then I think you just kind of black out after that." And then he added, "I don't think I heard anything other than, get your helmet on." As Foster took the ice, he stopped all 7 shots that were sent his way. He earned the team belt, which is an honor reserved for the game's best player, and he received messages from fans and analysts who could not believe he had never played professionally before. Foster said, "This is something that no one can ever take away from me." You see, we never know when God is going to call us to face a challenge. But when God does, don't sit on the bench waiting for something to happen. Get into the game. Put on your gear, get into the arena, and use your confidence in the promises that we find in God's word. Promises that God has given to us to face life's challenges that come our way. And then once you move forward with confidence in God's word, then have confidence as you pray in God's will. Ask God to do whatever is necessary to accomplish what he wants you to do as you face life's challenges. Remember in our study of the book of Acts, we kept talking about the fact that God has given every single one of us as believers a mission. God has given every single one of us a mission with a message. And that message is about what Jesus has done to the cross. And he sends us into our neighborhoods. He sends us into our workplaces. He sends us into our schools. He sends us into our community to be able to take that message. to fulfill his mission. And God equips us to be able to do that. And we can fulfill that mission. We can share that message in confidence because of what God has done for us, because of what God has done with us. And that's God's will for every single one of us, to be involved in his mission with his message. And along the way, while we're doing that, we can be bold to request impossible things from God if that is what you need. And that's what you must do if you want to win the victory over the challenges in your life. Like Joshua, pray with confidence in God's will. Dare to ask for the impossible if that's what you need. E.M. Bounds, in his book, Power Through Prayer, says this: to pray is the greatest thing we can do. And to do it well, there must be calmness, time, and deliberation. Otherwise, prayer is degraded into the smallest and meanest of things. True praying has the largest results for good, and poor praying, the least. We cannot do too much praying. We can do too little. We must learn anew the worth of prayer, enter anew into the school of prayer. And when you ask for God's purpose and plan to be done in your life, you can have confidence that God is going to do it. No matter the hits, no matter the scratches, no matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, we can pray with confidence that God's will be accomplished. So have confidence in God's word. Pray with confidence in God's will. Then have confidence that you will prevail with God's power. Prevail with certainty as you depend on God's power. Stay in the battle as God brings you complete victory over life's challenges. That's what Joshua did. The rest of chapter 10 goes on to tell how Joshua overcame one enemy after another until he had conquered the entire southern region of the Promised Land. But skip down to verse 42, which summarizes Joshua's victory. And Joshua captured all these kings and their land at one time because, why? The Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Joshua prevailed, not in his own strength. Joshua prevailed because of God's power. And God's strength is there for you. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. As believers in Jesus as Savior, you have God's strength available to you. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, we can do all things through him who gives us strength. We have his strength available to us. No matter the hits, no matter the scratches, no matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, we can prevail with God's power. We have God's Spirit dwelling in us. And God's word says, he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do we believe that? 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Do we believe that? Do we let it make a difference in the way that we serve God? Do we let it make a difference in the way that we live for God? So here's some things I want you to take away with you this morning. Place your confidence in God. Not in you, not in your riches, not in your possessions, not in your influence, not in your abilities. Place your confidence in God. Live in the grace of God and enjoy the goodness of God. Because God won't give up on you, you cannot lose. Because God won't give up on you, you cannot lose. Because God won't give up on you, you cannot lose. Father, I'm so thankful that we've learned these lessons this morning from Joshua that we found here in chapter 10. Father, I pray that we will have confidence in the promises of the Word of God. I pray that we will have confidence as we pray in your will. And Father, I pray that we will have confidence that you will prevail with God's power. Father, help us have confidence in you. Help us to live in your grace, enjoy your goodness, because you won't give up on us. And because you don't give up on us, we cannot lose. for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand with me for this last song? In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again, and as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.